はい、それでは、次のセッションを、再開させていただきたいと思います。このセッションは IPv6 の、さまざまな動向についての、セッションとなります。今日はですね、まあ、前回に引き続き、NTT コミュニケーションズの、吉田智也さんに、まず、アジア太平洋地域の V6 の状況、いろんな統計、情報が出てくると思いますが、お話していただきます。それからその後に、APNIC の、ジョージ・マイケルソンさんに、まあ、海外を含めた、まあ、日本を含めた海外の、V6 の、状況等について、お話しいただきます。でその後、お二人のお話が終わった後、QA の時間で、とさせていただきたいと思います。はい。で今最近 V6 が、だんだん、増えてきましたけれども、その辺の状況について、まあ、吉田さんの方から、プレゼンテーションいただきます。はい、それでは吉田さんよろしくお願いします。
はい、多分中川さんの方が専門家だと思いますが皆さんこんにちは、 NTT コミュニケーションズの吉田です。はい、この場をいただいたので、ちょっと私なりに V6 の、まあ、経路情報とかあと APNIC で公開されている情報とか少しその辺を、ミックスして調べてみました。個人的な興味で結構調べて、なんか資料作るまでにドハマりしてどんどんそっち行っちゃったんですけど、はい、ちょっと少し話をしたいなと思います。で3つ普及の、状況全般ということで日本とかこの辺の状況、多分今週 V6 サミットとかいろいろあったと思うのでもう何度も出てるので、とっとと飛ばしながら話したいと思います。であとちょびっと人とか汚染とかその辺のまあ、ちょっとあんまり出せないので、ほんのちょっとだけ出したいと思います。あとは最後今申し上げたアジアの、少し状況とかをお話したいと思います。でこれはもう見られてると思うんですけど、NGN やっと2018年今年の6月以降に、普及率 50% を超えました。でシスコがこれ出してて、これいろいろな国が毎度いろいろ見るたびに変わるんですけど、まあ、日本半分ぐらいですよって。この半分の理由って、トランジットをどれぐらいの ISP してるかとか、コンテンツがどれだけ V6 化してるとか、エンドユーザーがどのぐらい V6 に対応してるとか、その辺が多分ミックスされて出てる情報だと思いますけど、まあ、こういうのがいろいろあります。でこういう情報って本当に正しいのかなとか結構思ってたところもあって、まあ、その辺も少し調べてみました。でこれ V6 の普及状況です。先ほど 50% を超えてきたというところで、これ全体の NGN の契約数と V6 に対応した契約数の推移で、それをパーセンテージで出している映像になります。で日本国内は、まあ、大手のプロバイダー大体対応してきましたというのがあとデータで出てきています。まあ、もう突出しているのはソニーさんのところなんですけど、まあ、まず普及してきたかなというところです。OCN も大変遅らせながら IPOE のリリースを6月に出してますけど、やってなかったではわけじゃなくて、まあ、ちょっといろんなやり方で、NTT の方でも対応してきているというような状況になります。これはまあ皆さん結構見られているようかなと思います。であと V6 ローンチのサイトにいろいろ載ってたんですけど、なんかまあどのぐらいのプロバイダーいろいろな種類があると思います。コンテンツプロバイダーからトランジットプロバイダーから、いろんな種類があって、そういう人たちの、V6 対応率みたいなランキングはここに載っています。でなんか47さんがここに出てきてなくて、なんかおかしいなとかと思いながら、見ていました。でなんかこのデータはどうも赤米とか Facebook、Google あと APNIC のデータも合わせて、そのまあ、コンテンツとかにアクセスする V6 率っていうのがどのくらいかというようなデータで掲載されているようなデータみたいです。だから330、事業者っていうかエースの、あ、ごめんなさい、エースじゃないな、330事業者かなの、ランキングのデータがここに掲載されていますというのデータになります。でちょっとまあNTT の中で見てるこれ DNS のですねクエリです。クワッドAのクエリ、まあ、だいぶ昔から比べると結構増えてて、この緑のところっていうのはですね A レコードのみのクエリですと。でほとんど、まあ、まあまだ残ってますけどだいぶなくなってきて、A とクワッドA両方のデータっていうのがどんどん増えてきているというのが分かります。まあ、なので、まあ、確実に 結構増えてきてるなというところは分かります。であとキャッシュの方で、まあ、8年前ぐらいから比べると25倍ぐらいの、対応サイトが V6 のレディになっているというところで、これはキャッシュの DNS のところから引っ張ってきたデータになります。はい、結構増えてきてます。でちょっとこれはとあるところのリンクで、まあ、V4 と V6 のトラフィック全体の中で6ってどんなぐらい流れてたかなみたいなところちょっと出してますけど、まあ大体、この例ですと、10% ぐらいのデータが V6 で流れているというような感じです。まあ、これもあの、接続先とか、アクセス どの、まあ、ISP とか、コンテンツかというところで随分あのそれぞれの傾向違うので、これはまあ本当にあの一例という形で、紹介していますけど、まあ、一応 V6 あの流れてきていますというところです。でこっちはあのグローバルの方で AS291 庁の方で、まあ、どのぐらい V6 のトラフィックが流れているかっていうその国をあのちょっとプロットしたデータになります。まあ、半分ぐらいは USA で、こっちはまあアジアとかヨーロッパ、まあ、大体その辺で、占めているんですけど、もうちょっと国を細かく見るとまあ、あの日本が、まあ、US の次です。これは、まあ、EQ 庁の、まあ、リーチャビリティとかそういったところにも結構依存するんですけど、まあ、大きな国ですね。香港、シンガポールとかあの、まあ、いわゆる結構あの大きな国、まあ、ヨーロッパ、アジア、アメリカあたりの国があの V6 で誰かが流れているというような感じになっています。でこれもあのどんな伸びかなっていうと、まあそんなにすごい劇的には伸びてないですけど、まあそこそこやっぱり伸びてるなというのが分かります。で、まあ、シンガポールとか、まあ、ちょっとバーっていきます。香港とか、日本とか、まあ、こんな感じで、まあ、 あのどの国も大体同じようなカーブで、右上がりに伸びてきてるというのが分かります。で、これはまあトランジットトラフィックなので、まあ、あのバックボーンとして、まあ、V6 バケットをまあ、どのくらい運んでるかというようなデータになります。どんどんいきますけど、で V6 のこれシスコのサイトに載っている、これ何年前、2014なんで4年前くらいの、スナップショットのデータです。まあ結構みんな薄いような感じになっているんですけど、ちょっと1年ごと動かしてみると、これ3年前で2年前で去年で今年です。まあ、だんだん色はついてきていて、まあ、あのすごくドラスティックではないですけど、着実に V6 化が、まあ、このグラフ上でも進んでいるのかなと。でこれ どのぐらいどうなんだろうっていうのがですね、結構分かんないなと思ってて、まあ、あのいろいろちょっと調べてみています。で同じようなデータを Google の方でも出していて、これ大きくするとこれなんですけど、なんかもうほとんど、まあ、同じ、これちょっと少しあの計測の仕方で若干違ってるんですけど、 Google で計測しているのと Cisco の方で出しているのと、まあ、だいぶっていうかほぼ同じデータになっているので、まあ、情報ソースもそこそこ、まあ、似たようなものを使っているので、まあ、どっち見ても要は正しい感じなのかな。で両方とも本当正しいのっていうところはあるんですけど、その辺はだいぶいろいろ今回調べてみたら、まあ合ってそうだなというところが分かりました。なのでこのデータは、まあ、結構それなりに信憑性あるなというところが、はい、分かります。でさっきのCiscoの最初の冒頭で 50% 日本が対応していますみたいなやつは、結構エンドユーザーの対応率ってまだそんなにいないんですよね。 NGN が 50% 超えてるって書いてあってもまだ 20-30% ぐらいの IPv6 のリーチャビリティだったりするので、エンドユーザーの部分はまだそんなに普及してないけど、やっぱトランジットするトラフィックっていうのはもう8割ぐらいになってて、まあそういったコンテンツとかエンドユーザーとかトランジットトラフィックとかがうまく合わさって、まあじゃあ日本どのぐらい普及してるのっていうのが今 50% ぐらいですっていう、言われているようなデータになります。で V6 の見てますってなんかこうなってて、ちょっと経路情報見てみますと、去年ですねすごく伸びてます。1年間で1万5000ルート V6 が増えました。でその1年前の推移は、1万経路も増えてなくて9000経路の伸びだったので、結構伸びてます。でこれもちょっと注意喚起で64キロっていうですね設定が多分そのうち 打ち当たる人がいて、スタティックに 64K しかリブとかギブのサイズをアロケーションしてないっていう多分装置がきっとあるので、これはちょっと気をつけてほしいなと思います。はい、で、まあ、こういった感じで V6 のルート数も着実に増えて、じゃあ V6 にどんどんみんな移行してるのかと。V4 もですね、もう引き続き伸び続けてまして、全然勢いはですね、減らないです。もうここら辺で枯渇しましたとか言ってて、全然変わんないですね。で、私も昔この辺でどうなるのかなと予測してて、こんな予測してた結局そうなってるんですけど、ほとんど変わらないというよりは、むしろ伸びが最近増えてきているような状況も進んでいてます。で、次4は置いといて、V6 はですね、6万ケールぐらいになってますが、スラッシュ32も、増えています。最小割り振りサイズの単位ですね。この辺が、確実に割り振りされて、経路として増えてきてて、あと29は、ヨーロッパの方が、最小というか、申請を29で、実際に、緩やかにできるっていう、ポリシーになっていると思うので、少しこの29も増えてますと。というような感じで、で、32、36、40っていう、こういう単位で、今増えてて、でもうちょっと細かい方ですね、これがちょっと、クローズアップしたくて、スラッシュ48がものすごい増えてます。で、これはですね、V4 のスラ24相当のアドレスなので、スラッシュ24相当の V4 の伸びに、V6 もどんどん近づいてきてるというので、果たしてこれこのままでいいのかなっていうのが、ちょっとすごく、思います。このまま行くとまた V4 のスラ24のオンパレードみたいな状況に。なるので今 V4 のスラ24って40万ケロですね。なので、そういう感じになると結構きついなというのと、あと若干ですね、このスラ46は中途半端なのか意外と使われなくなってきてて、スラッシュ44とかですね、さっき40とか、4つごとのアドレス帯に皆さんケロを広告するような、形になってきているので、少し本格的に使われ始めているのかもしれないですね。というところです。これが割合なんで、スラッシュ32の割合がどんどん減ってて、スラッシュ48が5割ぐらいですね、になってきていると。V4 みたいになってきているというのが分かります。で、これはちょっと JPNIC のですね、ところのデータで、割り振りのサイズも、割り振りの件数ですね、もう随分、増えてきていますというようなところで、着実に V6 化は進んできているのかなというところです。で、ここからは経路情報とですね、FTP で JPNIC からアロケーションのデータをいろいろ持ってきてちょっと調べてみました。払い出しの V6 化のですの、国別のランキングとか、あとちょっと今回人口比率を使って1ユーザーがどのぐらい IPv6 アドレスが持っているとかっていうようなデータとか、あと経路数との関係、あと持っているんだけど本当にどのぐらい使っているのかみたいなところをちょっと出してみました。で、これは、アジアの全体で、半分ぐらいがですね、ここでちょっと下の方見にくくて申し訳ないですけど、中国が IPv6 アドレスを、持ってますというかアロケーションされてますというようなデータになってます。アジア地域全体では8500ドルですかね、というような感じになってて、この、円グラフは、一応こういう形なんですけど、これが一体じゃあどんなものなのかってよくわかんないなと思って、ちょっとその人口あたりでどのぐらいスラッシュ48みんな持ってるんだろうっていうのを出してみました。で、結構衝撃ですね。オーストラリアが 26.5 ってなってて、これはオーストラリア人口って2000万ぐらいかな。で、それに対して V6 のアドレスどのぐらい持ってて、1ユーザーがどんだけスラッシュ48相当のアドレスを持ってるのかっていうデータをちょっと出してみました。そうするともうダントツ 26.5 ですと。なかなかリッチだなという感じです。で、日本も5.2。で、韓国とか 7.1、台湾 6.9。で、シンガポールが 16.2 みたいな感じです。で、じゃインドとかですね、どこだろうか、この辺かな、IN ってあります。で、 インドはそこそこ、人口相当いますよねと。で、Vlookのアドレスは今持っててるんですけど、人口比率からすると全然やっぱりパーセンテージ低いですというので、結構国によってですね、単にボリュームとかだけ見てると、本当にどのぐらい Vlookアドレスがユーザーに行き渡るレベルなのかっていうのが、分かんないので、その人口のデータからそのマッピングしてみました。はい、これちょっと私もちょっとオーストラリアのところはびっくりしました。で、同じデータで、これは人口ですね、赤い、線で出してて、スケールは右側になります。ちょっとごめんなさい、単位書いてないんですけど100万人かな。なので、例えば日本ですと、ここが日本なので、1億人くらいかな、1億何千万人くらいの、のが日本になってて、はい、っていうような感じですね。はい、で、中国は16人以上になってますというような感じです。はい、ちょっとこんな感じでした。で、じゃあ、経路情報を少し分析してみたんですけど、アジアの経路情報ってですね、先ほどの6番経路っていうフルルートのうち、大体 25% ぐらいでしたと。で、1万5000経路ぐらいになってます。で、そのうち、どこの国がどれぐらい流してるのかっていうのをちょっと分析してみたんですけど、インドが大体2割ぐらい。で、中国とかオーストラリアとかと、こんな感じになっていますと。はい。で、これじゃあ、インドすごいたくさんいろんなアドレスが上がってるのかなとかっていうふうにちょっと細かく見ていくと、なんかですね、意外と 1IP のプレフィックスで流れてる経路が結構上位のところは、かなり激しい状況になっていましたと。この一つのプレフィックスを包含する細かい経路が850に流れていたというようなデータです。で、中国の場合はスラッシュ20とか22なんで、ある程度大きなアドレスブロックなんですけど、このスラッシュ32とかっていうのが、あって、この辺のスラッシュ32も483分割されて経路公開されているというような感じになっていて、で、この例えば中国のこの3つのやつを足すと、さっき中国全体で2800経路ぐらい流れてますというふうに言ったんですけど、この3つだけで 72% 占めてますというような感じで、なんか要は国全体を表しているのか、一事業者とかちょっとすごい少ない事業者だけの影響でそうなっているのかっていうのが結構分かんないなというふうに思いました。で、インドの方も、この2つのネットワークで全体の5割までいかないんですけども、そこそこの経路数を、になっているというような感じになっていて、かなりだから特定の事業者の影響がまだだいぶ強いっていうのが、今回ちょっといろいろ調べてみて分かりましたので、単純に先ほどのルート数がどのくらいかみたいなのを見ていても、ちょっと全体の傾向までまだいってないのかなっていうのが、Vlookの、状況なのかなというふうにちょっと思いました。はい、で、ちょっとまたさらに今度ごめんなさい、すごい困って、で、これ何を表しているかというとですね、本当に真面目にどのぐらい経路を使っているのと、割り振りされているアドレスっていうのがある範囲であって、それをちゃんと経路広告してるのかなっていうのをちょっと調べてみたっていうのが例です。で、日本の場合、568アロケーションがあります。例えば1スラッシュ32も1つになります。で、スラッシュ20も1です。で、それを足し合わせた数が568、普通ある11月ぐらいの、データになりますけど、そのうち54% ぐらいの範囲のアドレスが経路広告されている。細かさとかは置いといて、包含するアドレスがちゃんとどのぐらい広告されているか、つまり半分ぐらい広告されてないっていう状態になっていますので、アドレスは持ってるんだけどやっぱ使われてないっていうのが結構実態です。で、まだ日本はいいんですね。で、左の方に書いてあるのはどのぐらいちゃんと真面目に広告してるかっていうので、右のパーセンテージが 100% なんですけど、 100% から降りてきて、だいたい日本 50% ぐらいでした。で、日本とかシンガポールとかタイとかは、そのぐらいの割合で経路広告してるんですけど、インドとか香港、オーストラリアになると、ここどんどん下がってきていて、どのぐらいかな、4割とか 40%、30% とか、だんだんそういった数になってきます。で、最後、インドネシア、バングラディッシュ、中国とかになると、 まあ、ほとんどもう流してないというような実態になってて、これは結構、随分のアドレスの保有に応じて随分国ごとに広告率とか違うんだなっていうのが分かります。でこれはちょっといろいろデータで調べたんですけど、似たようなやつがあって、これはシスコが公開しているデータで、これジャパンっていうところをクリックすると出てくるんですけど、先ほどの500いくつっていうのはこれですね。でちょっとこれデータ振るんで、今はもうちょっと多いデータになってるんですけど、半分ぐらいが、ルーティングされてて、でここの下はあの後でジョージ話してくれると思うんですけど、 AP ニックがちゃんとそのアクセスしてどのぐらい使えるのかっていうところを、チェックしているデータで、大体だから半分ぐらいって言ってるのが、このデータもぴったり、合ってるので、このシスコのデータは結構正しいです、ちゃんと。で同じように黄色のエリアで私が入れたインドはまあ 20% ぐらいというような感じで、今もちょっとどんどん伸びてるんですけど、全体のアドレスに対して2割ぐらいの広告というか利用率になっています。で中国は、まあ、ものすごい低いです、 10% もいってないです。なので、まあ、結構国によってだいぶ事情が違うんだなというのが分かっています。で、あと、まあ、これ最後のスライドになりますけど、じゃあ今度307っていうのは日本の今広告されてるアドレスです。さっき の580いくつっていうのは、アロケーションされたアドレスなんですけど、307っていうのが広告されてます。じゃあその広告されてるルートがどんだけ細かくなってるのかっていうのを調べたのがこれになります。で、この307のうち794経路日本では流れてました。つまり、2.5 倍ぐらい 259% の経路が流れているというので、まあ、まだこれ全然良い方ですね。日本とか、あと、いろんな国にそこに書いてあるんですけど、香港とかこの辺もあまりいいんですけど、この黄色のエリアのところっていうのは、広告すごく細かく流してきているというところで、インドとかもこれ実際に青のブロックに対してこの 赤ぐらいの経路が流れているっていうなので、まあ、この乖離率が非常に高いほど、細かい経路を流しているというデータになります。で最後中国は100ぐらいのルートのうちもう2000、3000ぐらいになっているので、もう尋常じゃないぐらい細かく流れてますというような感じで、まあ、結構このデータもだいぶ国によって違いがあるなというところが見えました。で今回ちょっといろいろ分析してみて、じゃあこれ V6 の普及率ってどうなんだろうっていうのは、正直あんまりよく分かんなくてですね、まあ、とにかくV6 は増えてるし、進んでるっぽく見えるんですね。でただ分析の指標、まあ、割り振りの数とか利用率の関係、国民のアドレスで、1国民あたりどのぐらいなのかとか、あと経路情報の細かさ、まあ、行儀がいいのか悪いのかっていうのが書いてありますけど、まあ、こういったところで、結構まちまちです。でまあなんだそれが、まあ普及してないってわけではなくて、まあ今この瞬間こういう状態になってるんですけど、まあ、ちょっとやっぱり経過はずっとこれ見ていかないと分かんないなと思ったんで、ちょっと今回自分でいろいろ調べましたけど、まあ、今後、まあ、ちょっと継続的にこの辺を見ていこうかなとちょっと思っています。はい、であとちょっと1ユーザーとか1事業者がものすごい細かい経路入っているというのがやっぱりまだ全体に影響してます。なので、まあ、V4 ほどにはまだいってないですね、全体に。でそういった事象っていうのは、まあ、あんまりそこをこう入れてしまうと、あと正しいやっぱ集計がないので、うまく分析していくって必要はあるのかなというふうに今回、はい、思いました。であとおまけなんですけど、まあ、公開データの信憑性、その辺は結構ちゃんと調べてみましたが、意外と正しいです。なので、まあ、あの辺のやっぱり普及どのぐらいしているのかとか、リーチャビリティがどのぐらい上がってきているのかっていうのは、まあ、結構あの辺のパブリックなデータでも十分指標になりそうなというところが分かりました。はい、そんなところでございます。はい、私の方から以上になります。
はい、ありがとうございました。見方によっていろいろな数字が出てくるということですね。はい、はい、QA は、お二人のプレゼンを終わってから、後で、お受けしたいと思いますので、 次、ジョージ・マイケルソンさんにプレゼンテーションをお願いしたいなと思っております。
Thank you all very much for an opportunity to talk to you. I am extremely sorry I cannot present in Japanese. すみません。I will try to talk very slowly, and if moments escape you and you want to interrupt, please, please feel free to stop and ask someone who can help translate so that we can get over this communication barrier. So I was asked if I could summarize the visible condition of IPv6 to the communities within our region. So I have here a pack that is trying to explain how we measure and then shows you a series of different views within our community. I will give you a sense of how we in APNIC see Asia Pacific against behaviors in the world, but I am also going to look within at individual economies of significance, show you specifically what is going on in different countries within our region. So, our measurement is not like the measurements you were being shown. It was not about behaviors in BGP. It was not about amount of address an economy has. Oh, by the way, I would love to talk to some of your slides. They are very good slides, and there are. I must apologize for the greed of Australia taking all these addresses with a very small population. This is something we call early adopter advantage. We have about 600 to 800 active AS numbers in Australia. I think in Japan you are a similar number, maybe 600. So your population is 20 times ours, but we have a similar number of routing entities. Every time an AS owner says, "Give me an address," we always give them a /32. So with 800 routing entities, 75% of them maybe have V6, we have given 832s, but our population is tiny. So India, we have given maybe 10 significant ASs, large amount, perhaps 25/25/26, but there are only 3 active ASs routing in that country. So in BGP, you see a tiny, 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 tiny amount per population. They are all cellular. A cellular customer is not a 48, it is a 64, maybe a 56. And you are counting 48 per person, but they are given 56. So it's a cheat. But we are greedy. So again, sumimasen. So we measure by sending HTML5 JavaScript adverts that we buy in Google. We pay Google and we say, send our adverts worldwide, 24 hours a day. We are collecting across desktop devices, across tablets, across mobile. We cannot tell them the ratio between these devices. So there are problems in our measurement because nowadays almost all consumer internet is cellular. So really, Really, we should only be counting tablet and mobile. This is not a significant component of mass market, but at this time, we cannot control this number. So we know that the numbers, the experiments are placed randomly, but it's kind of not always very random. So if a web company in North Africa is willing to take a large number of adverts and has many, 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 many clients, we will send many adverts to North Africa and we will measure 1 million people in Tunisia. And maybe that day, advertising is very expensive in Osaka and we only send 1,000 choto adverts to Osaka. So we have to adjust the numbers and we have to say, no. Too many samples seen in Africa, more significance of data from Japan. So we perform a weighting and we use the reports that are given by you as an economy to the ITU and the UN for broadband population. So we adjust our samples to reflect your population. But this introduces some errors, so things are, they are not correct. And we know when we come to the individual AS networks, we are not accurate. So I will show you diagrams that try to summarize eyeball share, how many adverts we pulled from each ASN. And I know if you look at the Japan one, you will say, no, this is wrong. SoftBank has more, OCN has less. But we have no way to know. So I show you what we get. Maybe it's right, maybe it's wrong. It's a good conversation. So our mechanism depends on using DNS. The problem with anything you do in the web is that I think I am fetching a web page, but you are my provider, and you would rather serve it locally than have to fetch through the network every time. You run a cache because it's cheaper, and because it's faster, and because you can place extra adverts into the feed and revenue and make money from this service. It's good business. So we have to say, no caches here. And we do that by using a unique DNS label. But we also use that label. So we say to you, you come to me on 6 with a unique label. And then we say, you come to me on 4 with a unique label. And we can put them together. And we can say, oh, your 6 was quicker. Or we can say, oh, you have no 6. And we know it's you. So when we say we see one pair of eyeballs, what we have done is we have said, are you on 6? Are you on 4? And we have combined them together to say 4 only, 6 only, dual stack, one person. And then we do this 15 million times a day. 50 million samples a day worldwide. We test many things. We test, do you support DNSSEC? We test if you can read X559 upgrade in HTTP. We test fragmentation. We test RTT delay. But for this talk, what counts, what matters, is can you do IPv6? We use Linode. Do you use Linode in Japan? Or do you use DigitalOcean or other providers, maybe? But we use Linode. Linode is completely covered by the routing service of Hurricane Electric, AS6989, I think. And they're not a good AS. They're noisy, and they leak information everywhere. So sometimes the V6 routes are terrible, but they were cheap. So everything you see is the view of the world measured under Hurricane Electric. Is this okay for speed?
Yes.
Do you need me to sing?
どうですか? Speed 速いか遅いか。もうちょっとゆっくりの方がいいですか?
So, This is the current state as we see it of the world, which is the black line, and of the different regions, including the world is the blue line, and APNIC is the black line, so that is 56 member economies across Asia and the Pacific, and then the breakdowns by sub-region, and you will see there is this huge, huge standout, South Asia is significantly more active in V6, as much as 50% compared to the other economies. And if you look down here, East Asia is significantly lower by comparison. So we say, oh, APNIC region is on 16%. That story is more complicated. Some parts are doing really, really well. Some parts, nothing is happening. But most of us, most of the APNIC region is very slightly above average. Which is interesting because we have more than half the population of the world. So if we are above average, that's good. But it means a lot of the world has to be below average because we are huge. So something is going on. So this is a more complicated view, breaking down what is happening within our region. It's messy, messy, messy story. But you can see South Asia is completely about India. By the way, this drop here, this is an... Oh wow, I have a roadie. Where is my guitar? So I look here. Okay. Ow! So the story is about India, but this was a problem in our measurement sampling. During a 3-week interval, we forgot to pay our bill. And as a result, we got no adverts. And there's this funny thing that happens when you are getting a small number of samples in a random pool. So look, imagine for a moment, we are all the AS numbers of India. Normally, there are only two big ones, you two at the front. So normally, when I get a million samples from India, I see a little bit of everyone. But I see you. I see lots of data from the big providers. But now imagine I am only getting 1,000 samples. If I come just to you, I get repeats. And Google say, no. We don't do that. We go to every ASN. So I see a little bit of everyone, and then I get 1,000, and I stop. So normally when we measure India, we see two ASs, which are Reliance and Jio. They are huge, and they have a lot of V6. And we see Bharti Airtel. They have some V6. But during the period when we forgot to pay our bill, we saw all of the ASs of India, and they all said, no V6, no V6, no V6 here, no V6 here. So all of the measures for Indian went, and then we paid our bill. They came back up again. So really, this is measurement artifact, and I give you this as full disclosure because I could smooth this away on the graph, but I tell you this is a measurement mistake. This actually is a real thing. There has been a huge surge in the Malaysian community. It's very, very interesting because they are a full free market Western economy and they have a lot of competition. And suddenly, someone has decided that they want to compete actively in V6. So there's some change there that we will talk about. But if you look at most of the economies, mostly, the story, it's a pretty straightforward growth story. It's a slow, slow story. But not in India. India is like a rocket. So that's interesting. So, I will now show you lots and lots and lots of pictures which look exactly like this. So the left half, this is the picture of maybe one or two ASs in that economy. So this is a picture of India, and that's India in blue. And this is the level of V6 across the whole of the Indian nation. And this is one AS, Reliance, who are at 90%. And you can see here, when we didn't pay our bill, and we said, oh no, Reliance has nothing, because really the signal dropped to zero. But it's been smoothed out. So this is Reliance, they are on 90%. And this green line, this is Hutchinson, Vodafone, and the purple line is Bharti. Now, this diagram is a Meko chart. I think it's like Mari Meko, who are a Finnish design company who makes socks, but I know really Meko chart is some kind of stats chart. So this line, this says, how big are you in the marketplace? How many samples did we see from you? So we normally see half of all the samples in India from this one ISP. And this direction, this says, how much V6 do you do? So this direction is telling us the same story as this. It's basically 90%. But this direction is saying, in India, half of everything we see came from Reliance. Now, you could say to me, stop! How do you know how big Reliance are? How do I know? I don't know, because nobody is making a public declaration. In Japan, you have reporting obligations to the ministry, and you must report customer numbers and ARPU and units sold. You have lots of reporting lines. So if we did work for Japan, we could probably say OCN declared 25 million, SoftBank declared 23 million, KDDI declared 2 million, whatever it is, I don't know. We could have relative numbers. But in India, no, silence. They don't report. However, we do have a story. Back in 2015, no one in India had any V6, and Reliance were a small ISP. They were perhaps 15th in our sample set. That year, they made a critical decision. They were going to capital invest in their network. And they made a nationwide investment of a clean build LTE network. No legacy technology, no 3G, 4G day one. So if you are in 3G, you all know it is really hard to run V6 and V4 service in 3G, because in the 3G encoding of the PDUs, people save money. So the design of the technology, it doesn't make it easy to say multi-stack protocol. It's hard. But in 4G, it is beautifully simple to deploy. And Reliance said, let's do 6. Why not? Let's turn it on. Not only did they do that, they said, we don't want to give APNIC any money for V4 addresses. Buy V4? Are you crazy? I mean, V4 for India, you would have to buy 2/A's. That's $300 million. No, let's get one V6 prefix. That will cost us $6,000. So they got a V6 prefix and they launched pure, clean V6 only LTE. Now, of course, you will all be saying yes, and all the posters all over India advertising this telephone company said, now with V6, pure V6 telephony, only from Jio. No, they never ever advertised V6. What they did is they said, if you take our minimum plan for data, we will give you free telephone calls nationwide. So there is a particular culture in India. I don't know, it may be similar in Japan, I do not know. But in India, when a man and a woman get married, the woman leaves her hometown to the town of her male partner, which means she leaves behind her family, her mother, her sisters, her grandmothers. And she would like to talk to them. So a new telephone service at minimum cost with data and free phone calls was launched nationwide in an economy of 1 billion people, 500 million of whom have left home to go to the town their husband lives in and they want to ring their mum. And Reliance seized market share. And in 2 years, Reliance took more than 50% of the market because they had a fantastic price point. And every single cell phone was a brand new phone, and you got it free on contract, and it did V6. So half the population of India on mobile instantly across 1 year did V6. So the Indian stats for V6 zoomed up. And around 2017, Hutchinson Vodafone said, oh, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? And they said, I know, let's do V6. So they have started competing on V6 because they did a clean bill new network in LTE. But they never said V6. They simply competed on price with Reliance and they stole back market share. And after that, at the end of 2018, Bharti, who were huge, and previously had been number one in market share. This used to be Bharti, and now they're down here. And they said, okay, we have to respond. And Bharti have also deployed V6. So this entire story is a picture of competition in cellular telephone. And it is only V6 because clean build LTE is easy to do in V6. So, I said Malaysia was interesting. The first thing to notice is that in market share terms, there are actually three really, really big providers. This one, TMNet, they are the former monopoly. So I guess they are NTT and OCN. They are the equivalent. And they were the first people to deploy V6. But the higher level of V6 comes from a different entity, Digix, Diginet. And they're coming behind Maxis, a third player. And then even down here, CelcomNet is now playing. And even this guy, TINet and U-Mobile. So we have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. We have eight active players in a competitive marketplace. This, ladies and gentlemen, this is capitalism. This is people competing for market share using V6. And although some of them are very low, some of them are really respectable, 60% deployment rate. So this is an active competitive market. And if you look here, you will see that even though maybe 40% of the market is with the former monopoly, there are really aggressive players. I think money has poured into this network. I think people are investing in telecommunications in Malaysia. This is Taiwan. Taiwan has a single entity called called Chunghwa, Chunghwa Telecom. And Chunghwa have divided their network in two. One AS is HiNet and services home cable, and the other AS is Imom, their mobile supplier. So this looks like, oh, they have competition. They have two networks. No, this is one entity with two ASs. So I have combined them into a single line. And here you can see the aggregate figure for this single entity. Okay, so this line, what's this? What's going on here? This is the academic community. 200 universities in Taiwan. They run a single network agreement. They have a ring around the island, and they run a very cohesive network, and they were early adopters of V6. And sometimes we did a lot of samples with them, and things leaked and went crazy. So these spikes of noise, but they have a long history of running V6. The thing is, student networks in Taiwan, they have to pay money. It's not a free service. And so they have very strange behaviors. You guys know the whole thing with VPN, that people run VPN to get content from America, Netflix, that they can't get in country because of license restrictions. Well, for a very, very brief period in Taiwan, a VPN provider, they got no charge from their carrier. So if they used the VPN, the billing engine, it didn't rate limit them, and it didn't count their packets. How does that work? I don't know, but every student in Taiwan came into VPN and was getting free international data, and then the vendor was like, oh, this is no good, turns off the service. But they're crazy. But this market, it is kind of interesting because it is a really recent move by the provider in 1 year. And if you look here, you will see that a third entrant, Far East Home, they are significantly smaller, but they are actively competing. So Taiwan has a very integrated industry community. They talk to each other. They are dominated by Chunghwa, but they do talk to each other. And I think we will see future growth, but I think it will take a long time. So this is Japan. Now this is where I invite you to tell me this is wrong, because we think KDDI is about the same size as SoftBank, and they are both about the same size as NTT. So we think you have three dominant players in the marketplace: KDDI, SoftBank, OCN. You think that's fair? You think it's about right? One third each? Is OCN maybe bigger? How would I know? I don't know how to know. So if you know that these numbers are not good, you should come to me and you should say, they're not good. They're not good. But this is what we think. We think KDDI, SoftBank, and NTT are the three dominant players and collectively represent 60% of eyeballs in Japan. We also think that KDDI has a far higher penetration of V6. We think they are consistently at 50%. And although it is only a guess, my guess is that this will be a product they have in mobile. And my reason is that I am told by my friend and respected colleagues in the Japanese community that there is your national fiber network, and that a private V6 network runs in this fabric, but it makes it extremely difficult for public V6 networks to run in this network. So there is V6 in fiber, but it cannot expose publicly easily. And therefore, I believe the majority of the view is probably leakage or build-outs that are not using fiber, but more likely comes from cellular. And I believe SoftBank, they are big in cell phones, aren't they? I think they are. So SoftBank has quite a lot of V6. OCN has been doing V6 for a very long time, but it is taking a long time to get up to scale. I really think that this is a growth story, and I also think this is a story about competition. you have three large competing entities, and you have other interesting players like Cynet. You have Docomo, who are another NTT division, but they're running quite differently. OCN has six, Docomo has hardly any. It's kind of weird. I don't know what you guys are doing, but it's interesting, and it looks like there is an overall growth trend. This is Vietnam, and like Malaysia, it is dominated by the former monopoly telco, VNPT. Now, the Vietnamese are officially an open market, but they kind of aren't really. It is a regulated telecommunications market. To play in Vietnam, you must register. You must register with the state. You must make a commitment to a national network plan. You must include yourself in a conversation about the coordination of the routing function for the interest of the people of Vietnam. It is a strategic goal. So they have a very close conversation. I like to imagine it is like going to Janog. I have been to Janog once, and you guys were fighting and arguing and having fun and talking. And then when you come outside into the public space, you are completely calm and normal. Because in public, that is your commitment. We coordinate together, but inside the room, argue, 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 argue. So I think in Vietnam, I have spoken with provider FPT. This is a newer entrant. It's a strange name, but what they have is two elements. They have a clean build fiber, hybrid fiber deployment, and they have a mobile component. And they were asked by the community to take the first step. Even though they are the smaller player, they are significant in scale. The two of them represent half the market, and they agreed in a communal decision that they would pilot V6. So their story is this initial deployment. After they did an initial deployment, they discovered a technology problem with their customer equipment, and they very rapidly withdrew, and they re-engineered, and then they redeployed. And you can see, do the deployment in test, discover a problem, cancel, fix, redeploy. Boom! They go straight to 30%. And then, there is some variance, but basically they sit on 30%. And I believe that this is because their ratio of fixed line, where they have the CPE, to other technology, this is approximately the size and scale of the part of their network which can do V6. So this is a story about the limit of technology, because although they built clean fiber, they have other asset which they cannot upgrade. So you can see here, VNPT, after their experience, they gained confidence and they began a deployment. And then you can see later, a third player, Viettel, began a deployment. So although this is a small market, these guys have rationally discussed how they want to deploy. It's really interesting. The thing that is very interesting is that China likes to look at Vietnam as the little brother. And you know, in families, when the little brother jumps higher, the big brother goes, whoa, hang on. So there's a moment here that the Vietnamese successfully deployed V6, and the People's Republic of China is looking at it going, little brother has jumped ahead. So, this is New Zealand. It is a market economy. Vodafone is very large. There are a number of providers. This, Spark, this is the former monopoly telco. Look, they have nothing. They have nothing. This is really weird, because in lots of other economies in region, the former monopoly makes a capital investment. And in New Zealand, they have literally given up. They say, we have enough V4. We have enough. We have enough for our foreseeable custom growth. We don't see a need to invest. We don't see a need to upgrade. We're fine. Sorry. We're not doing it. So, there's no V6 in the form of monopoly. But if you look in the other spaces, Call Plus, Trustpower, Vodafone, who are Hutchinson Vodafone, same company that we saw in other economies, they are going gangbusters. So they have this huge deployment, but the former monopoly, yeah, not interested. That is really weird. Can you imagine giving up in a market? Why would you do that? I don't understand. Thailand, three, four big players, very aggressive fight going on here between AIS and fiber and a wireless network. They have the classic problem of an economy that has one or two huge cities and a large rural population. So wireless is very important in Thailand because it's how they reticulate into rural and regional. And they are using V6 aggressively. But again, there are many people who are not playing. Nonetheless, AIS, this large company, they are already at 70%. And again, wireless, no legacy, no field equipment, no problem with upgrade. Whereas when you look at some of these companies, they have a huge investment in CPE and wire in the city and intermediate switching in the customer network. So for them, this is very difficult. I'm not going to talk about Australia because we are very sad. Our former monopoly, Telstra, has a significant deployment and nobody else is competing. This is the first market mover and they went nowhere. They were bought and the company that bought them is not prepared to invest. It's actually this company, TPG. We have no effective competition in our market, and although I am very pleased at this signal of V6, I am very disappointed at our national ranking. We just have no effective deployment story because we have so many ISPs, such a little population. This is Sri Lanka. They are very interesting because they are a tiny, tiny economy and they are full market economy. They've absolutely privatized and they invited external networks to come in and dialogue, have this huge market, and they've actually deployed, but they seem to be roadblocked. A second company has started deployment. LearnLK, it's an academic network, so they have higher penetration, but tiny, 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 tiny market share. So really, this is a one provider story. Singapore, they're like Australia. It's sad. It's really sad. They have this company, StarHub, that obviously understands because StarHub Cable has high penetration, but for whatever reason, in their NGN network, they're not getting the numbers. And in mobile, which is mechanistically easier, they're not getting the numbers. I thought the Singapore economy was based on competition. I don't understand this. Bhutan, it's a one provider story. It's Druknet, which is their single biggest network, and they have a V6 story. But it's like rural and remote. They have a penetration problem. I think this will take a long time. There will not be significant growth in scale yet. Macau, that's kind of funny. If you want a one provider economy, Macau is all about one provider. So I'm getting to China, okay? I'm getting to the door of China. Macau, they have a bit of V6, woo! But we have this problem. We have two economies in our region, and I cannot tell you what their penetration is because we have different problems measuring them. Korea, we know from talking with the KISA, KONIC staff, we know that they are market dominant. We know that mobile is half of market. And we also know that their broadband deployment is stuck in IPv4 because they did a national deployment in one go and they selected lowest bidder for CPE. And the bid is a non-upgradable unit. They can never upgrade the unit. They have to replace. So every single house in Korea, they have to revisit. And they have to revisit the CAN because they have to replace switches and they have to replace routers. So we estimate the cost of an upgrade to V6 for Korea might be $1 billion. It could be very expensive. Nobody wants to do it. But in telecom, it is deliciously easy in cellular because they had a clean build LTE, so they can do this. China, China is just confusing because of the firewall and also because they have special DNS appliances. They have a product that is sold aggressively in China that intermediates DNS queries because they have a lot of hackers inside China. We see the ones who are hacking outside the country, but inside the country, it's weird. Let's imagine you are running a gaming network and you have Team Fortress 2, and I am a gamer and I get very low ping on you. I am a low ping player, I win. And then you randomly change your network and my ping goes up and you suddenly are low ping and you do significantly better than me. What do? I get my 20 buddies and I DDoS you so that your ping goes down, so I am back as the ping champion. And this happens across China. They have a huge problem with kids playing games who, when they're unhappy, they DDoS each other and they DDoS the national fabric. They're at war with themselves. So they deploy DNS services that look for things like command and control networks on random names, and they look for short life names, and they suppress them in the DNS to try and control name to address behavior. But our measurement, it uses lots of random names. So this appliance thinks we are bad people, and so it doesn't work. And the firewall makes it really, really hard for packets to get in and out of China. So we are actually working with Chinese academics to make a measurement. And the reason that we think we will succeed is because they made an internal commitment to the 5-year plan. This is a planning level decision within the Chinese managed state economy. If you make a declaration in the 5-year plan, it's not maybe, it's a contract. It's a really strong signal of intent. So if they have made that commitment, they have to make it work. And if our measurement says it's not working, this is bad for everyone. So we think they will help. So I show you this data, but I have to tell you that I think this measure of Korea Telecom is inappropriate because I believe this should be a significantly larger component of the sample set. And you will see that SK Telecom, we have moments of variance in the count, but their penetration is basically north of 70%. And the rest of Korea is not doing anything because they have this huge problem in broadband that they simply cannot upgrade without a massive capital investment, and no money is coming into their market. China, officially, we saw a very small amount of their deployment. This is when they deployed, and they claim that they are now on 20%. This gap is the problem in measurement. We have been speaking with ChinaNet, and we have been speaking with China Mobile to try and understand what is going on, and we have been assured that ChinaNet does have significant deployment. And they also say we are approximately right for their market share. This is roughly what they think the capacities are in their providers, but our measurement is just wrong. It's just wrong. So, there is no deployment in Hong Kong of significance. That really surprises me. We see none in Cambodia, none in Myanmar, none in Laos, none in Mongolia. We don't see much in Papua New Guinea. Indonesia is strange because they are a huge economy. 200 million people, that is massive. The Philippines, I don't know if any of you have ever tried to invest in the Philippines, but it is extremely complicated because although they are a market economy, it's not very open, and you have to form a partnership with a Philippine company, and you have to put significant assets in the ground, and if you get it wrong, everything goes away. It's horrible, so it's kind of chaotic. The Pacific Islands, we just don't see very much. Hong Kong and Indonesia, I actually think it's a real issue. I think something's gone wrong in their planning for deployment, and I think something will have to change. But there is no story here. Because Hong Kong, there is lots and lots and lots of money sloshing around. You would think that something would happen. Indonesia, they have 400 ASs. They have lots of competition. The Pacific Islands, they're getting a lot of investment. You have this whole Belt and Road Initiative, and you have Australian investment and American investment. You think they would have this. So I do wonder if we are sending the wrong kind of signals about capital investment. I just don't know. So I cannot tell you why people do V6. I would love to say I have the magic answer. It may be about money. It may be about sunk money. Maybe if you invested a large amount of capital building a broadband network or a 3G network, and maybe if you're still amortizing that capital investment, you can't do it yet. India, it was clean build. India was a magic moment. So if one of you has $2 billion and you would like to invest it in telecoms, I suggest you do a clean build, because you will have no legacy problem and you can do a lot of stuff. SK Telecom, Telstra, they are both using 464 Translate. They're using V6 only. We have this weird story in New Zealand that the former monopoly says, no, we're not gonna do it. So I do think you should be talking with your financial officers. You should be talking with your strategic planners, because there are market opportunities in this region. So if you look at Jio and you say they're profitable and they're modern and they chose to deploy V6, you should go out and look in the market for places that are undercapitalized but have a large population, and maybe you should fund a deployment, because I think you can use a clean V6 network to take a lot of market share. There are opportunities here. That's it. Thank you.
Thank you very much. ありがとうございました。それでは、お二人に、ご質問、ありますか？どなたか。せっかくのいい機会なので、何でもぶつけてみてください。あ、はい。あの質問じゃなくて理解できなかった部分をもう一回っていうのも、ありです。
Oh, you want me to project it again?
I could do that. No, it's fine. It's good. I shouldn't have turned it off.
Talking about the New Zealand case, so they don't think it's not timing to just own the IPv6 now, but if they think...
I'm talking about these people.
But if they decide to start IPv6, so maybe the fastest deployment will happen, might happen. So what do you think so?
I will tell you why I think this won't happen. There is a behavior in lightweight telcos. These guys, they have as few assets and staff as humanly possible. They are not an MVNO, but they have outsourced. So it says Vodafone, but who knows who's operating it? It could be a complete sealed solution from Huawei, or from Nokia. And previously, your contract would say LG standard this, 3GPP standard that, IETF compliant, this, that, the other, management price, this, something. And way down the bottom, it would say V6. And if you tick that box, the contract is 20 million more expensive. So people untick it. Okay? In virtual network operation, outsource, it is very expensive. But now, the V6 box, they said, just have it, just take it. And these guys, they deploy rapidly. These people, because they are the former monopoly, they are not allowed by their finance to use external contract to supply service, because they have this huge capital investment in copper and in transmission equipment that was the national asset. So they can't get a virtual solution, they must run the solution. These guys, they buy equipment from a company called Alcatel. You know Alcatel? French? They have good V6. Alcatel came in and said, we want to help you upgrade your entire network, PABX, CAM, CPE, NGN, everything, one low price, it'll do V6.
Nokia?
Alcatel. Not Nokia, Alcatel. Are they the same now? But the monopoly telco said, no, we don't want to. And they said, but you're running out of V4 addresses. And the response from this company was really strange. They said, we're losing market share. They said, we used to be 80%. Now we're 50%. And next year, we're going to be 30%. So because our customers are leaving, they free up V4 addresses. We have no shortage. They didn't buy because their financial controller believes their market share is shrinking. Now, you or I, if we were in business, we would say, okay, sell, walk away, sell. But they can't. So the other thing we would say is invest. Invest in your network, build a new network. They can't. So they won't buy new equipment, they won't replace their equipment, they have a lot of V4 and their market share is shrinking. I think they won't upgrade, and these guys, I think they will grow huge. That's what I think. I should work in a pachinko parlor. That should be me.
ね、ここね。
Do you have another question?
ね、鶴さんね。 あ、ニュージーランドは違う。なんかさっきあれですね、インドとか、ケニア、アステリー、インディア。
Such an economy. This was ordered by the amount of data that they supply to World V6. India is 45% of all V6 seen in the world comes from India. 45%. They're huge. There are probably more people on V6 in India than there are in the population of Australia and Japan combined.
何かありますか?
There, India. So, India. What is your question?
One dominant, ね?
Yep.
Still more than 90%.
Yeah. Because they have nothing but cellular. So, what is the 10%? Tether. Tether device. If you get a tether, most tethering software in Android cannot do prefix delegation. So, the 10% tethered laptop. And if you get an IBM with a chip, you get true V6. But if you tether, you can't do V6. If tethering had prefix delegation, this would be 100%, because they have no legacy.
So you need prefix delegation for tethering?
You need prefix delegation for tethering. And Android promise, they promise, it works. But I think the component inside the telco, customer-facing equipment, I think they don't do this, because their model is to give a single address to a handset. really, a cellular network should give a customer a 56, and it should allow 56 to 64 PD for the tether. But they give them 164. And then the tether says, what do I do with this? I can't give you anything because Slack demands a 64 boundary, and no one in Android does DHCP v6, so you are stuck. I think it's tethering. Yeah, but they're missing an opportunity. I really like this story of Barty, because Barty, he is very, very financially smart. This guy, he knows his money. He only invests in successful companies. I was going to talk to a moment in your slide where you showed Sky in UK having significant V6. Rupert Murdoch. That man knows money. So he has Sky, he has Foxtel in Australia. Foxtel, they are completely covered by Telstra. So the AS, that is the origin AS of Foxtel, everything is behind Telstra. So we measure Telstra, but I know half of that sample, Foxtel. Because Rupert Murdoch gets V6. Sky, Foxtel, he does 6. He gets it. Rich man. Think about it.
せっかくの機会なので、日本語で問題ありませんので、どうぞ。いいですかね。
なんか僕の経路のやつとね、上手のやつと結構、やっぱり
それなりに違う、ね、こうデータっていうか、こっちは本当にリアルに、なんだろうね、さっきのメジャーメント使ってやってますけど、なかなかやっぱり、難しいなというかね、開花の分析とかって、すごく。なんかまあちょっと両面をこうなんか合わせて見ていけると面白いし、結構ねいろんな国の事情のことをお話ししてもらったんで、すごい興味深かったですね。はい、また、はい、引き続きお願いできます。
そろそろ、時間になりましたので、よろしいですかね。もう、はい、それでは、このセッション、終了とさせていただきます。お二方に拍手でお願いいたします。